There we go. I think we're on. Okay. What a great day to be here again in God's house. Amen?
Amen.
You know, it's a pleasure to be here with everybody. It always amazes me that we can come to church on Sunday morning, regardless of what we bring in the door, that the Lord Jesus Christ welcomes each and every one of us, you know? We bring in our baggage and we can walk away clean and free of what we brought in to this place. One thing I like about coming to Mass on Sunday, I don't have to be right to get here, because here God makes me right in His eyes.
Amen.
You know, that's the key right there, isn't it? Amen. I'd like to read just a couple verses out of the text this morning from Matthew, the second chapter, in verse 2 and then in verse 11. For the Bible says, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh." Today's message is simply titled, "The Eye Opener." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that we can be gathered here in this place. Lord, that we can come in with our struggles, with our sorrows, with our sinfulness. We can come in, Lord, with our failures, and we can leave being free and clean because of your blood you shed on Calvary's cross. Father, I thank you for this opportunity and ask you to bless this message, that your Holy Spirit would touch each one that's here today, and that these words would be yours and not mine or anyone else's, but yours alone. Father, we come before you asking you to hear our prayers in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So here we are. That's it. I got nothing. Who said that's good? Here we are, the first Sunday of 2015. Can you believe it? You know, the way I look at it is we're 1 year closer to Jesus coming back. Amen.
Amen.
That's the good part. Last year's over. What's done is done. Can't go back and change it. We already did it. And now we live with it. All we can do now is move forward in the new year, right?
Right.
We can't change 14. That's done. We can't even change 9 o'clock this morning. That's over. All we can do is keep on moving forward. The world out there, around outside these four walls, celebrates the new year with parties, celebrations, and resolutions. How many of you went to parties? I did. My grandson slept over. We whooped it up all the way till 11:30. And then we ran out of gas. Thing is, I couldn't figure out. He slept on the couch and I slept on the floor. Figure that one out. How many of you went to celebrations? Yeah. How many of you made a resolution this year? Yeah. I did. My resolution was to like Father Keel. I love you, brother. I'm just kidding. You know, resolutions we make of what to do in the new year, and we make resolutions of what not to do in the new year. And I don't know about you, but I found that at least for myself, a resolution turns out to be a good intention. Some of the things I wanted to do this year, I already blew it. And it's the fourth day of the year. And that good intention is already messed up. My resolutions always sound like something good, but after a while it's simply forgotten. And by now some of us who have made resolutions too have already broken them, haven't we? You know, the world comes into the new year full of expectations, full of promises that usually don't get kept Or at least modify it as the year goes on. That's the one I like. I made that resolution to be different, but as the year goes, I get to change it a little bit. Because it depends on circumstances around me. You know, guys, we're here today in a special day of the church year. It's a day called Epiphany. It's a one-day festival that has great meaning that we usually forget about. Because we go through Christmas, we go through New Year's, and then we come to the first Sunday now of the brand new year. We forget that this day today is called Epiphany. And I did a little thinking about it this week, and I did a little word study on this word Epiphany, and I found several very profound definitions that really made me think a little bit. One definition is Epiphany is a manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. Not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, the wise men. They weren't Jews. The Bible says they came from the east. Who knows where they came from? But they came. And they were wise men. The other definition I found of Epiphany is a moment of sudden revelation or insight. You ever have that moment where all of a sudden the light bulb goes on? You've been wandering around in the gray and finally the switch clicks and you go, bam, that's it. I found it. I understand it. Today's another celebration of Christ Jesus, showing that He didn't just come for the Jews, but that He came for all people. The shepherds were the first ones to come to the manger when Jesus was born, led by God to Bethlehem. They came before their Savior. They bowed down, they worshipped Him in fulfillment of the prophecy of the prophets. And now today we celebrate the time the wise men came. And it was a little time later, because it says they came to the house, doesn't it? In the gospel reading for today. They were Gentiles from the east. They were highly educated men. And they specialized in astronomy. And they specialized in the natural sciences on how things tick and work in the world. And they were led by God by a star to a place where Jesus was now living. And this was also fulfilled by the word of the angel. Listen carefully. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you news of great joy, which shall be for all the people," says Luke. Where's my microphone? I'm getting excited. I got to stop that. And then it goes on to say, "For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ the Lord." Do you see the mystery of this day in that passage? The power of this wonderful day from the poor shepherds who nobody really wanted to be around, those society put out on the margins, and they lived on the margins of society, all the way to the rich men who were well educated, who were respected. Jesus has come, praise God. From the shepherds who were Jews, Jesus came to be a Savior. And to the wise men who were the Gentiles, Jesus came to be a Savior. From one end of the social spectrum to the other end, Jesus came to be the Savior for all people. A gift given to the world by God that all might come to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that's good news. The Apostle Paul said, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many of you got an indescribable gift for Christmas this year? I can call that sweater a sweater. I can call them sweatpants sweatpants. And I can call them skivvies skivvies. We all wear them. Nothing to be ashamed about. Just sometimes we get them in a bunch. If you know what I'm talking about. You know, the Apostle Paul says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." Who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. That's the gift to us from God. Paul says, I can't even find the words to describe such a wonderful gift given to me by the hand of God Himself. There's no words to explain the gift that God gives to us in Christ. It blew him away. And he said, it's indescribable. He couldn't even find the words to describe them. And this whole thing is shrouded in the mystery of God's love for us. A love that we can't understand. A love that we could never grasp. Folks, does that blow you away?
Amen.
It does me. It blows my mind to think God loves Steve Block, a sinner. Someone who showed my sin and my intentions and my difficulties to somebody this morning here already. God loves me. He loves you. And it's a love that puts us all on the same plane. That's what I love about it. It puts us all in the same plane. None of us is any better than anybody else. None of us is any worse than anybody else. In the eyes of God, the Bible says, there is no partiality with God. He doesn't look at you and say, you're better than him. He doesn't look at me and say, I'm worse than you are. He looks at us and He loves us all the same, regardless of class or race or where we were brought up or how much money we have. In Christ, God broke down all these barriers that we set up to separate us from other people around us and separate us from God. People put up the barriers of race, huh? We don't want to hang around with somebody from a different race. They ain't the same as me. We put up the barriers of color. I don't want to hang around with that guy over there. He's a different color than I am. How about status? That's another barrier. You know, I think I'm better than you. Or you're better than me, so I have no right to be with you. Or wealth is another barrier. Or poverty is another barrier. And the list goes on and on, but they've all been wiped away by God through Christ. And everybody looks at me with deer in the headlights. I was waiting for an amen on that one.
Amen.
We don't wipe these barriers away. We usually keep putting them back up. But God in His grace through Christ wipes them all away. Because we don't like to be with people that are different than us. We want everybody to be just like me. What a screwed up world that would be, huh? If everybody was like me, we'd be in big trouble. You know, we get caught up on the barrier of a man's outward appearance. That's got nothing to do with anything. What are you guys laughing at? You did? And they laughed? Wow. Wow. I think that's the first time you said amen, honey. Usually she says amen when I say the closing prayer. You know, God knocks down these barriers to let all people in through Christ, regardless of class or race or gender or age or self-importance or whatever it is. God lets us in to His kingdom through Jesus Christ. And that's why He came. See, guys, that's the mystery of this day called Epiphany, where God reveals us to Christ and reveals Himself to us in Jesus. Nobody in this church today is any better than anybody else. Doesn't matter what you think, doesn't matter what you heard, you ain't no better than anybody else. And nobody in this church today is any less important to God than anybody else. The Bible says, for He Himself is our peace, who broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. For some people, this may be a sudden revelation. That God breaks down barriers between us and others. That God breaks down barriers between us and Himself. Which is another definition of the word epiphany. It's a sudden revelation. But yet, the revelation of epiphanies for all people. As I read the accounts of the shepherds and the wise men, I have to ask myself a question. And I ask the same question to you too. And it's a very simple question. And the question is, how did they get there to see Jesus? How'd they get there? That's not a rhetorical question. Huh? I get it. They walked. But how'd they get there?
Jesus led them.
God led them there, didn't He? Look past the angels. Look past the stars. God used them as simple means to bring people to the Savior who would save their souls forever. We got to look past all the external stuff and look directly at Christ. And when we do that, we see Him and we see God who masterminded all of this stuff. It's God who, out of His great love, calls us to Himself in Jesus Christ. That's profound to me. That's amazing to me. So many people today are trying to find God. How do you know you found Him if you're trying to look for Him? Huh? He finds us. It's God who looks for us. We build up barriers between us and God knocks them all down, not to make it easier for us to get to Him, but so that He can come to us and show that He loves us all the same through Christ. John 3:16, what does it say? For God so loved the world, right? That everyone who believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, Jesus is an equal opportunity Savior, isn't He?
Amen.
He don't care about race. He don't care about color. He don't care about status. He doesn't care about any of that stuff. He came to be an equal opportunity Savior. And He doesn't even need government funding to spread His message. He came and He spread the message by the power of Almighty God Himself. What He needs today, He needs people. Yes, that's us, you and me. He needs us with hearts on fire for God to spread the love and the peace and the joy of Christ so we can be God's epiphany to the world around us. You get that? So we can help other people see how much God loves them and to show a broken world full of people looking for answers to life and eternity, that God has not turned their back on them, but He opens up His hand and He simply says, come, I've got exactly what you need and what you're looking for. And He loves them. And He wants to save them through Christ. In Acts 4:12, the Bible says, there's salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. To be saved from what? A bad day? A tough boss? Unemployment? Poverty? No. He came to save us from something called sin. And there I said it. That three-letter word that everybody cringes when they hear it. People don't like to hear about sin anymore. They want to say, I got a problem. A good friend of mine said, he said, I really don't like to call it, Steve, sin. I like to call it imperfections. My response was, oh, so you sin imperfectly then. You can't even do that right. Amen, brother. Man, you're in trouble when you can't even sin right. But God loves you anyways. He saves us from sin. There it is. That one word. I don't know why people get uncomfortable with that word, because it's something we all share. We all got something in common. Every one of us sitting in this room has one thing in common.
Sin.
And for those of us who are saved by Christ Jesus, we've got another thing in common. It's called Christ, who saved us from our sin and saves us from the penalty of sin. We got to live in a sinful world today. People think just because Jesus came, everything is going to be a smooth ride. I'll tell you, when I came to Christ, that's when the ride got bumpy. Because that's when I started to see who I really was and what I really was doing. I started to see things in my life that weren't quite right like I thought that they were. He came to take us away from the punishment and the ramifications of sin so that one day we can live for Him. You know, it's through Jesus that we are delivered from sin. That's the church's message to a broken world today. And as we live our lives for Jesus and let Him be seen in us, you know, are we perfect at living for Jesus? No. We all mess up. I messed up again just this morning, as I said before. Are we good at it? Not really. We're a lot better at messing up than we are following Jesus, aren't we? But we should still live for God the best we can where God has called us and given us the abilities to live for Him. See, we're the light of Christ to a world around us, to Jews and to Gentiles. It's amazing. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," didn't He? He said, "I am the light of the world." We too can be the light of Christ, anywhere from hugging somebody on a Sunday morning to cooking a meal for the poor to show them you care, to spreading the gospel in the community to show them you care, to simply saying good morning to somebody to show them you care. Just to let them know you love them in Christ. And the list goes on of the ways we can let Christ shine through us. And then Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Ain't that something? He said, "I'm the light of the world." And now He said, "You are the light of the world." We are all God's light to a broken and dark world around us. All we got to do is let God pull the string and let the light bulb go on. See, maybe that's our own personal epiphany, huh? That's mine, to be a better light to the people around me. And to simply let God be my Savior and shine through me and spread His love to people around me. You know, I'm not bragging. I hate that stuff. But I just want to say this morning, on the way to pick up some of the guys at the mission, we stopped at McDonald's, a couple of us, went to the drive-up window and got a cup of coffee. And the gal came to the window. I paid for the coffees, and I reached in the box I have in the van, and I handed her a New Testament. She lit up. She just lit up. "Thank you so much, Father," she said. And then I just automatically went like that. You know what that means? That means "I love you" in sign language. And she went like that, and she said, "I love you too, my brother." Isn't that something? All we got to do is let the light shine. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, may we take what we've heard this morning, Lord, and put it into practice. May we look at our lives, Heavenly Father, and be a light to those around us. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You came to this world for all people, that all of us sitting here today can be saved through faith in Christ. Hallelujah. I thank You, Father, and pray these things in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.